الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. As we have been trying to explain, that in this ayat, this great command of Allah, of fasting, Allah has given us. And Allah put it in a very beautiful way. First, Allah spoke to the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. And the believers are the friends of Allah Ta'ala, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. And a friend always desires good for his friend. And if it's a true, genuine friend, and there can be no friend like Allah Ta'ala. So what was really good for us, that Allah Ta'ala prescribed. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, yeah, Allah Ta'ala says that what Allah has made compulsory for us is fasting. Of all the other injunctions also, all the commands of Allah, to the extent that it is more beneficial to us, the more the farziyat, the more it has been made compulsory upon us. The greatest thing that is of benefit for us is La ilaha illallah. And that is the most for us, the biggest for us of all the farais. To believe in Allah Ta'ala and to believe in the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah. And the more a person exerts, excels and brings Tawheed, the more he becomes very, very honorable by Allah Ta'ala. So, and what was of lesser or like of no benefit, very little benefit, that has been left like mustahab or nafal, that is, but what was the most important, that Allah Ta'ala has made it farz upon us. So of the five farais of our Islam, Roza is one of them, and these are of the greatest benefits for us. Then Allah Ta'ala made it more easier. Allah said, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that fasting has been made for us. Not that I made it for us. Of course, it is from Allah Ta'ala. The command is only Allah Ta'ala's. But Allah did not put it that, Katabtu alaykum as-siyam, Kataballahu alaykum as-siyam, Farada alaykum as-siyam, but Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Rozas have been made for us. Because what was very important is our love relationship with Allah. That we should love Allah. Now if you feel your beloved, your lover has made something difficult for you. Because roza is against the nafs. Our halal, jais food. We love our food. We difficult to give it up. Your jais, halal wife. And you have to give her up. And your desires you have. And زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Among the things that have been made very enjoyable to man is the desires of us and of ours and to fulfill them. But Allah made it haram during the time of Roza. So we would find it difficult. Why did my Allah make it haram for me? What I love so much. But the benefit of it is so great that for this time of Roza, Allah did make it haram. But there is only goodness for you. So Allah did not direct it personally to Himself, but says it has been made for us. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. And then even further, Allah makes it more easier. They don't feel that you are singled out to keep roza. That only we have been asked to keep roza. Kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum. All the ummats of before, rozas were made for us on them also. And then Allah Ta'ala presents the great benefit. It is a little difficult for you to keep roza. It is against your nafs, but it is greatly beneficial. You're going to get the great treasure of taqwa. And taqwa is a very, very great gift of Allah Ta'ala. And yeah, our aim is taqwa. But don't just think of the taqwa, of our Islam, of connection with Allah. You do what you have to do. We keep our rozas properly. What we have to do, and then you will get taqwa. If we're just thinking all the time that your father has promised you, if you pass your exams, I'll buy you a BMW. Now you're just thinking of the BMW, and you're not working to pass the exam. How will you get your BM? So you do what you have to do. So we must keep our rozas properly. Allah will give us that taqwa. Allah will make our islah. We go towards Allah, Allah will come faster towards us. Man taqarraba ilayya shibran, a person who comes a handspan towards me, I go an arm's length to that person. So we have to do what we have to do. And Allah will grant us what He has promised us, that He will give it to us. So we got our object in mind. We must have our object, our destination we must have in mind. But don't just think of, do what you have to do. You want to reach Makkah Sharif, with your destination is correct. It's the right destination. But now book your ticket, make your reservation, do all what you have to do so you will reach Makkah Sharif. But if you're just going to think of Makkah Sharif and you're not booking your ticket, you're not preparing, you're not getting to the airport, then how will you reach Makkah Sharif? So what we have to do, focus on that. Keep in mind where, what my destination is, but focus on what we have to do. Many times I want to become a big wali of Allah, I want to be obedient to Allah, I want to have a good life, love of deen. But what we have to do and what is in our capacity, that we are not doing. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was enticed by Zulaikha and he was trapped. He had no way to get out from it. But what he could do in his mind, he knew the door is locked and I don't have the keys and I can't pass the door. But I can get till the door. That much he can do, though it seemed impossible after that. He did that much, Allah unlocked the door. And not only the door was unlocked, Allah unlocked all the other impediments, all the other rukawat, things that were blockages. Allah opened now the door for Nabuwat also for Yusuf alayhi. Allah opened the door for him to become the ruler of Egypt also. Allah opened the door for his whole family to come from Canaan and come to Egypt. Allah blessed him with everything of dunya and akhirat also. When he did, how much he could do. So in all our matters, how much we can do, let us do. For example, with COVID and all the restrictions and protocols for Umrah was difficult, for Hajj. But what we could do, we can make Ishraq Namaz every day. And you make your Ishraq Namaz, it comes in the Hadith, you get the full. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam repeated it 3 times. Tam, 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 full Hajj and Umrah Sawabi. So that much we can do. So whatever we can do, we do. And Allah will do the best, the balance for us, and Allah will do the best for us. That what we can't imagine, Allah will give us. So we try and focus on what our islah, what we have to be doing, our namazes we correct, keep our rozas properly, everything what we have to do. Don't just dream about your target and your object and what you have to be doing now, we are not doing. Do that what we have to do, Allah will give us taqwa. A great, great gift of taqwa. And on taqwa, you can say everything has been promised on taqwa. And then Allah Ta'ala makes it again furthermore easier. Ayyamun ma'dudat. It's not too strenuous for you. It is just for a few days, ma'dudat, which are countable very easily. You can count them on your finger. Fingers, 30 to count on the finger is not difficult at all. 30 rozas. Shaitan also used, usually before Ramadan, how are we going to manage our rozas? Very hard. But every year we notice that the Ramadan is going to get finished. There is no doubt about it. What we did I do what I have to do in my Ramadan? Two asharas of Ramadan are gone already. All are planning for Eid already. All are planning things after Eid already. The days are going to go. But have I done what I have to do? That is the important thing. And the most important period has come now, the last ashara, the last 10 days of Ramadan, which are so valuable, so valuable. When they have got Laylatul Qadr in them, what can we say? When millions of Quran Sharifs will be made khatam now, Taraweeh is taking place in the whole world, where and where, in jungles, in cities, in desolate places, where and where Quran Sharif, and most of them they are going to be completed. And on completion of Quran Sharif, what mercy of Allah Ta'ala descends. all this is now going to be happening. And Allah gave us the opportunity. And always we make the dua, and always we should make the dua, Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. Keep us safe for Ramadan. From our side, our health, our different matters that we have to attend to. Mustn't be some legal problem and we have to appear in court or some other thing. Allah save us from all that. وَسَلِّمْ رَمَضَانَ لَنَا. And keep Ramadan also, the whole environment, conducive, encouraging for towards deen, towards obedience of Allah, that there not be some arguments and fight. Like if one argument starts, then everyone is disturbed by it. Sometimes it happens, and it all happens in Ramadan. So much so that here in the madrasa, we had to keep one mufti, and now till today we keep one mufti, especially that he's on duty in Ramadan. Because people have got their matters and they want the answers now. And they want the things to be sorted out. So many matters come in Ramadan. And a whole year, many couples don't have problems. Ramadan starts and now we want to sort it out now. Everything a person just wants to do now. So Allah keep Ramadan safe for us. And whatever we have acquired or we try to acquire, وَسَلِّمْهُ لَنَا مُتَقَبَّلًا. That, oh Allah, what we have earned, let it remain with us. And for the future, and that is also very important, when we are doing our amal also, I usually give the example, you find many a person, now it is a different zamana, but previously, when a salesman had to make invoices, had to make a cash sale slip, and he had to do it in writing. Every time he had to write the date there. And every time, it's almost general, everyone, he will look at his watch for the date. Or he'll look up at the calendar where it is to look there. When he just wrote one invoice now, how come he doesn't know the date now? He has to check it again. Because he did not check the date to remember it. He just checked it for that period, just to do his work. If he did it to remember it, then the whole day, no matter 200 invoices he makes, he won't have to look up for the date. But it is just in his nature, because he doesn't want to remember. It's not something that is so important to remember. So he has to check it. So if we also do our amal just now to get the sawab, which is noble, which is matlub, it is required also. But then it just remains here. And just with that niyat we make it, that I want to do this amal for the rest of my life, then it will remain with us for the rest of our life. It is just that little attitude difference. And most of our deen is just a little adjustment. And we can reach from where to where. The same amount of effort, the same amount of time. Great, great buzurgs have become great buzurgs. Just on intention. Just by making the intention, like we make nafal namaz. You can just, I'm making this nafal namaz. And you can make up to 8-10 intentions. And it is that 2 rakats you made, up to 20 rakats you made. Just your intention. Just your quality. Our namaz we make. And we just make that one namaz, and I made my namaz, and namaz is made. But if we just improve the quality of that namaz, that I'm making that namaz in order to gain the closeness of Allah, in order to fulfill the command of Allah, tilawat of Quran Sharif. There are brothers, mashallah, who make one khatam a day, and according to our niyyah, that just the same amount what we read, but just with that niyyah and the quality, it goes to what heights we cannot imagine. So we should try and acquire that also. So Allah give us tawfiq. So one of the things that we should do, keep a proper roza we had discussed, and that was roza of the eyes, not looking at anything haram. And now we stay away from it in Ramadan, and as we are here in the khanqah, we are in the masjid, in the mu'takaf, we are making i'tikaf here, it's very easy to control up because you don't see here. Yeah, you don't have to keep your eyes away from any, there is no woman. So usually, and the training period is always like that, where all the problems are not there, you get trained properly. So that when you go and face the problems, now you are made solid, and you can easily overcome them. So if we do that properly, yeah. And one of the easiest way that we suggested, that in namaz, just keep the eyes where they have to be. And inshallah, you will be surprised yourself. Like many of us, we admit, this is my weakness. Looking at other women, or many a person will admit, this is my weakness. But just do it in Ramadan, and do it that I'm going to do it permanently, and we'll see Allah will protect. And a person, one of the greatest gifts Allah gives to a person who controls his eyes, his own wife, even if she's not pretty, and if she is pretty also, Allah will make her more prettier in your eyes. And you will find enjoyment looking at your wife. Unfortunately, at the moment, the condition is over across the board. A person doesn't find enjoyment looking at his wife, or the wife looking at her husband, but looking at others which are haram, there we find enjoyment. And the reason for that is, we are not staying away from haram. Stay away from haram, and Allah will make the halal enjoyable. But when we fall in the haram, shaitan, nafs, and the great friend of nafs, shaitan, the twin brother of nafs, they make now your halal doesn't appeal to you. Now you don't enjoy looking at your halal wife. And looking at haram, they make enjoyment. And they will destroy a person in all his matters. Until at the time of mort, shaitan will try his utmost to deprive you of iman also. And you'll go in your qabr and shaitan will be your friend. And he will also run away from you. He will desert you. And on the day of Qiyamah, and you'll be with shaitan in Jahannam. So why listen to shaitan? Listen to Rahman. All our ni'mat are from Rahman. Allah gives us all the ni'mat, and we listen to shaitan. Rahman ki ka khate hai. We eat all the ni'mat of Rahman. Clothes Allah gave us. Alhamdulillah, alladhi kasani. هذا الثوب ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة. When we wear clothes, try and read that dua. Great virtues. All gunas are made maaf by reading that dua. And acknowledgement that, oh Allah, this what I'm wearing, my topi, my trouser, my kurta, whatever, it is only you gave it to me. And I got no share in it. It's solely and purely. And if a person thinks a little bit, he will realize that we do nothing really. When we say, I paid so much for my pair of shoes, for a pair of socks, we haven't paid for the shoes and the socks. We have paid for all the people who work to make the shoes. For the people who work to make the socks. The shoes itself, that is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. And that's the only pay is shukr to Allah. And when a person acknowledges this, then you have paid for it. Otherwise, you are wearing it without having paid for it. All our food, whatever we have, rice, we eat rice. A kilo of rice, I think I'm paying 20, 30 rand for a kilo of rice. The rice we can never pay for. We are paying for all the people who work, the farmers, the people who made the roads, the tractors, the trucks, then all the shipping, and then all at the docks, all the cranes, etc. Then all the computer and paperwork, then all the shops, etc. The places where the packaging, and then the wholesalers, and then the retailers, we have paid for that. And that also, Allah alone has subsidized it very heavily. Otherwise, for a kilo of rice, for all this effort, where can 20, 30 rand be that amount of money? It's just like a modern barter system that we are paying the money, we are getting the rice. But we can't pay for all that effort the people put. And the rice itself, that not the farmer can make it, and it is in nobody's hands. In Surah Waqia we read, أَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ. Do you grow the things, or are we the ones who grow it? It is only Allah who does all that. So everything is from Allah. So in any case, so we should appreciate that roza of the eyes. Very little we explain, but let us try and keep the roza. And make the niyat that not only now in Ramzan, now it is majburi ka naam sabar. That there is no woman to see, so I'm making sabar. I'm not looking at any woman. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, if you go to the Qabristan and you address all the dead people and you say, how pious people, they're not committing one guna also. They are just lying there, so pious. They can't commit guna. And therefore also, remember this point also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say, don't even make the dua that the desire of guna must be taken out from you. If the desire of guna goes out, your progress stops. You can't reach Allah. If the requirement is you have the desire of guna, but don't make the guna. If you don't have the desire, it's like a sick person who's in a coma. It's like the people in the Qabristan. And you tell them, you feel so pious, they can't commit guna. If you don't desire farishta, it is not permissible to call any angel a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, because they can't commit guna. So there is no accomplishment, there is no achievement. Who can commit a guna? And he doesn't commit it. And so the more stronger the desire, the more you restrain yourself, the greater you go, leaps and bounds towards Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when you go to such places, like supermarkets, airports, banks, etc., where there are these women all the time, and they are all dolled up and dressed up also, and they speak also not only politely, but in a sweet way. In fact, they'll put their face right in your face. Your secretary, when she speaks to the boss, she doesn't just speak from across the desk. She comes and puts her face and all her perfume and everything. Now, in those circumstances, to restrain yourself completely. That is where a person, and of course, we take all the precaution that asbab-e guna is also important, we stay away from them. But where we have to go, certain places we have to get involved, then you restrain yourself. And you go leaps and bounds ahead by Allah Ta'ala. Zulikha, how she tempted Yusuf alayhi salam. When he restrained himself, where Allah took him? Just at that time, when it was everything, he was at his youth, the peak of his youth. And he was beautiful, and Zulikha was beautiful, he was handsome. Everything was perfect for all the haram. But he restrained where Allah took him until Qiyamah. Had he made his face black and committed the guna at that time, nobody in the world should know there was somebody like Yusuf. And nobody should know his beauty also. But when he controlled himself, Allah took him that till today made it part of the Quran Sharif, whole surah, Surah Yusuf. And our Quran Sharif and our Taraweeh and our Tilawat cannot be complete without Surah Yusuf. Wahammat bihi, wahamma biha. That she intended to come to him. Lawla ra burhana rabbi. Had he not seen the clear sign and Allah's help, he should also have gone towards her. But Allah protect. So Allah save us, inshallah. So another very important thing that we have to keep roza about is the roza of the tongue. That is also a very big roza. And that the roza of the tongue, what we speak. We don't eat also, we don't drink water also during the day when we got our roza. But more than that we don't eat and drink. And we don't eat and drink not only what is halal, what we should, that we have halal and tayyiban. Halal which is 100%, which is full of barakat also. But in roza, that also we abstain from. All for the pleasure. And a very important thing also, whatever we do must be done just for the pleasure of Allah. If a person says, I will keep roza the whole night, I won't eat. And during the day I will eat, I need my energy, etc. That won't be acceptable. It's not according to the command of Allah. It must be for Allah, it must be according to the command of Allah. Do the right thing with the right intention. Though both things are absolutely essential. Not that we are doing with the right intention and the wrong thing. That is not acceptable also. And to do the wrong thing with the right intention, that is also not acceptable. Our intention in everything must be correct, and our action must be also in conformity with Quran and Sunnah, Hadith, teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So with the tongue, the roza that we keep, we don't eat and drink also. Further than that, the use of the tongue, we usually refer it to speaking. Our speaking we have to learn to control. And this is also a thing for many of us, our tongue is out of control. And it is out of control in the most delicate place. That is in the home with the wife mostly. More than with the children also, with the wife. And if it's out of control there, and a person has to say the words of talaq, even one time, even jokingly, even unintentionally, talaq and setting a slave free, these things are such that intention doesn't count there also. Even if you say it was not my intention to give the talaq and divorce, and even all this excuse, but people ask the person, how did you give your talaq? So he says, talaq, with a ta. So mulaqat, that is not a separation. So he says, no, your talaq didn't take place. You didn't pronounce it correctly. Or you didn't say the word talaq, you said divorce. So what makes it is haram is talaq. All these things don't count here. You said it, and this is also Allah reward ulama. Like for example, you pull the trigger, and then you say, I was in a fit of anger, and that is why I pulled it. So that doesn't mean it's going to justify, and the person is not going to die. You pull the trigger, he's going to die now. You, the trigger of the tongue you pulled, and you said the word, the effect is going to take place. No, if even it's not your intention, you said I just was joking, even jokingly it's going to take place. And really in this is the great respect and honor of the woman. If it wasn't for this, man would all the time tell the wife, I'll give you now talaq, as it is we are saying. For any small thing, I'll give you talaq now, I'll do this to you, I'll do that to you. And if it was that, so Allah preserved her honor that you dare say that word, you will suffer your whole life after that. Your children will curse you, and your children will grow up with their parents living, but they'll grow up as orphans. And they're going to suffer the consequences. The community, they are going to become delinquents. And they're going to be a source of problem for the whole community and society, for the whole ummah also. So keep that marriage intact and keep it properly. Look after that wife. Don't take advantage of her and try and put fear in her every time. She Allah put her in your amanat. Not that you just you're a boss over her and you can treat her like a nothing. And you can treat her like the S word, and just that she's nothing. No, respect and honor her, that she's greatly valuable. And this will help us to also to make amal on this. One time in Dr. Iqbal, the famous poet of the East, in his gathering, somebody had mentioned that when a cat had given birth to kittens in Masjid-e-Nabawi, a stray cat had given birth. So Nabi Ali, the Sahaba, naturally they wanted to remove it from the masjid. And the Sahaba, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, told them, respect that cat now. She has become a mother. Just because she has become a mother, now respect the cat also. A stray cat, not your pet. A stray cat, but respect her also. He became unconscious. That my Nabi, he showed so much of respect for a cat just because she became a mother. When your daughter becomes a mother, your son becomes a wife, your son becomes a husband, treat them now according to that status. Don't treat them then when they were 3 and 4 years old, and how you should shout at them, etc. No, treat them now that she's a wife now, he's a husband. When they have children, treat your son now as a father, and treat your daughter as a mother now. And your wife, when you treat her, a strange woman, only in the name of Allah, she became halal for you. Now respect her accordingly. And that respect is not only outward with one another. The greatest respect of a mother, of a wife, is that you don't cheat on her. That is the thing what she just cannot take when you cheat on her. And the greatest respect of the husband is the wife must not cheat on him. She must also respect. That is the greatest thing. Other things you can shout at one another, it's tolerable. You accommodate it. But if somebody has cheated on one another, that becomes very hard. So respect one another. And when they become now parents, when your son has got his children, now respect him accordingly. Don't humiliate and disgrace him in front of his children. When your daughter has become a mother, now respect her. In front of her children, she has become a mother now. So respect her accordingly. So Dr. Iqbal, he said that, my Nabi, what teachings he has given us. For an animal, a stray cat, he said, respect that cat. How much must we respect our wives then? But unfortunately, how we treat our wives, it is deplorable. So much so that people feel that Islam has given no rights to women. Whereas the greatest right of woman is only Islam that has given it. Islam has put her, as long as she is a daughter, she is a princess in the house of her father. She is a princess of the palace of her father. When she gets married, she is the queen of the palace of her husband. She is not required at all to earn anything. She can be a multimillionaire. She doesn't have to spend 1 cent of hers for herself. As long as she's a daughter, the father must spend on her. When she gets married, the husband must spend on her. And even further in life, if she becomes a widow, and her husband divorces her, Islam has put in place everything that she doesn't have to look after herself. Allah has made the system, all the time somebody else has to. What honor Allah gave to a woman? Allah let us realize this. So anyway, this tongue, that how we use it, and especially with the wife, don't take her for granted. And you just start speaking. One thing also which is commonly we find, mostly it is in this scenario, that the wife is very sensitive. We think we are just saying something casually, we just blurt out anything. But she is very sensitive. She is oversensitive. And the sad part is the man is totally insensitive. He feels, I can say what I want to, and I can say it as I want to, and she mustn't feel hurt about it. I can just talk what I want to, she mustn't feel hurt. And she is not only sensitive, she is oversensitive. Sometimes you're not even meaning her. You're not meaning your in-laws. But she immediately says, oh, you're referring to my mother. You're speaking about my father. You are referring to me. She's very sensitive. And you are very insensitive. There were all the clashes. If only she can also come down to reality. And you also face reality. And you treat one another properly. And قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. One of the ayats that I read at the time of nikah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Very important. Nikah time, taqwa is required. Very sadly also, generally at the time of nikah, even we who perform the nikahs and give a little talk, it's a very light talk, a little bit of joking, whereas nikah is a very solemn occasion. It is half of one's iman, and the other half is to fear Allah Ta'ala. The three ayats that are recited at the time of nikah, all three deal with taqwa. And taqwa is not a thing to joke about. Taqwa is not a chapter of jokes. Taqwa is a very solemn thing. Nikah is putting the foundation not of a couple only, not of a family, not of a community, not only of a nation, the whole ummah, the whole of mankind. If every nikah is based on taqwa, and then the hadith that is read at the time of nikah, the most common, is an nikah min sunnati. Nikah is of my sunnah. And nikah is half of one's iman. So how important. And sunnah is not a thing to joke about also. So at that time, we should try and illustrate the importance. And really, both boys and girls, we should get ready for nikah. And not ready with books written by Western writers, etc. But what Islam teaches. And mashallah, there are so many ulama who have written on this subject. That when you, what kind of a spouse, the whole details of nikah, when you meet with your wife, when you live with her, when you have children, all the details are outlined. But we don't go into that. And we just think it's just some fun ride. And we don't, we just paid 20 rands for a fun ride, and now we're just going for a fun ride. And therefore also many feel that nikah, when you don't, as long as I can manage, I'll manage. When I don't want to, I'll just opt out of the nikah. There's nothing like that. Nikah is a thing that we have to remain firm into nikah. The girl should take the attitude that my janazah will go out of my husband's house now. The husband must take the attitude that this is my wife and she is for good my wife. Though Islam has allowed. But we should have that attitude of living together and making that nikah work. So anyway, the tongue is a very important thing in our close relationship with the wife. She learn to use the tongue correctly. And when we just blurt out things, it causes endless problems. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, the tongue, what is the tongue? Jismuhu saghirun wa jurmuhu kabirun. The tongue is very small, but the sin of the tongue is very big. The tongue, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that you just use your tongue, and your tongue takes you to what heights of Jannah. Like for example, two people were fighting, husband, wife had a problem, and we find normally the ulama will go out of the way to patch up things, to try and make that marriage work. And when we go to counselors, the first thing they say, just end it up now. They just go in the wrong direction. And yet we have Islamic care line, and we use these counselors, and all their teachings, their rotten teachings, their totally wrong teachings, and they just are taking part of the woman all the time. This is this feminism, just the taking part of the woman and just opting out of the marriage for any small thing that just immediately that break up this marriage, end it up. No, that we try and make the marriage work as far as possible. And Islam is that beautiful religion, not like the Christian religion, until death does us part. And neither like the Hindus, the actual religion which they're not following, that if the husband dies, the wife must be burnt with her. They cremate and burn the body. So if the husband has died, the wife's body must be burnt with. Islam did not say that at all. What right Islam has given to woman, not in the past, not in the present, forever, nobody in the world can give. Allah Ta'ala is the maker of the law, and He is our maker. And what law He has given is the perfect law. So Allah Ta'ala, let us understand, and this tongue of ours, with all, not only with the wife, because commonly we are quite a bit with the family, with the wife, especially when a person just gets married, then he's all the time with his wife. Learn to use the tongue correctly. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Say the right word, the correct word. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. The tafsir of Bayanul Quran, Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, not only that your matters will be corrected, but all your matters will be accepted by Allah. If the tongue is used right, then all your amal, Allah will accept all your amal. And if the tongue is used right, the matters in the family, what great goodness will come in there. So, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah Ta'ala will forgive your gunas also. So this is the tongue, we have to learn to use it also correctly. And with the tongue, وَجِسْمُهُ صَغِيرٌ وَجُرْمُهُ كَبِيرٌ. And this is also true. جِسْمُهُ صَغِيرٌ وَأَجْرُهُ كَبِيرٌ. We use it in the right way, the reward of the tongue. One la ilaha illallah, a person said with his tongue. The seven earths and the seven skies, with all in them and all the creation besides Allah, in one pan of the scale, and la ilaha illallah in the other pan, it will outweigh all this. And Allah has made it for this ummah. La ilaha illallah is easy on the tongue. But that what is easy, we don't want to repeat it. Now in Ramadan, Allah give us all tawfiq. Allahumma la ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah, nas'alullahu jannah, wa na'udhu billahi minan nar. We should be reading it very much. Now in the last 10 days, Allahumma innaka afuun, tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anna, fa'afu anni. This last 10 nights, we try and read, and the odd nights especially, let us not go to sleep without reading one tasbih 100 times. The more we should read, it should be just on our tongue. With this tongue, a person can acquire what great heights by Allah. Tilawat of Quran Sharif, a person calculated that if you make one khatam of Quran Sharif, 83 million sawabs or so you get. Just with the tongue, we use it in the right way. Say a kind word to somebody. Why you say words to hurt people? Why we want to bring down people? Say words to bring down anyone is no achievement. A person who is going down and you bring him down more is no achievement. But a person who is falling down and you pick him up, that is an achievement. Even if it was financially, a person was going down and you push him down further. He's desperate. He wants to sell a property and you take advantage and you take it at a few pennies you buy that property. And he's desperate at that time. No, at that time give him double the price. Pick him up from there. A person is ill. He has fallen down. He's in some condition. So don't push him further down. Try and pick him up. A person in any way, indeed, a person is down. And what people have acquired status by Allah Ta'ala. We learn of somebody that indeed he fell into guna and he's down and people are criticizing him, ostracizing him. And somebody went and put arm of kindness and compassion around him and made him come up again. And he came indeed that position by Allah. And Allahu Akbar. One murid of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who should come from Syria, a far away place, but he should come to his majalis. For some time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't see him. So he asked, inquired about him, where is he? He's not coming. They say, oh, he's gone offline. And he's taken to drinking. And he's gone on all bad habits. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reflected, took his pen and wrote a letter to him. And two subjects in that letter. The one, the harms and evils of all the gunas, of drinking, whatever other gunas, all the harms of them. And the second subject, that Allah is most merciful. Just turn to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. And Allah is there to forgive. And Allah will help you. You just come out of this, Allah will help you. And then he told all his other friends, his murid, that now make dua for him. And then he sent a letter to him. It had the required effect immediately. So do the person who has fallen, we all fall. And at that time, help the person who has fallen down. Don't push him down further. Try and pick him up at that time. And also remember, we shouldn't do it for that niyat. But when a person was in difficulty, and who came to his aid at that time, that person will remember him for life. And he will really have respect and honor for that person. Do it only for Allah's sake. Whether a person was in financial problems, domestic problems, deeni problems, he was gone down. Don't say, oh, he is now gone to Jahannam. And write him off. And pass all funny comments about him. No, try and wean him back. So anyway, the tongue, Allah give us tawfiq. Use the tongue for the right thing, not for the wrong thing. With the tongue is one other very great thing, which is also with the tongue, anger. That a person, the anger that a person has, and how to control. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, you will never see that two people are fighting, and they're not talking anything, and they're just punching one another, and hitting, kicking one another. It doesn't happen like that. It all starts with the tongue first. You did this, you said that, and argument starts now. That person is defending, and you said this, and you did this. And now when it becomes hot to a certain temperature, to a certain level, then the fist starts. And then the leg starts, the kicking. So it's never that it's just a silent thing, and you just started kicking and fisting, and or pull out your firearm, and you pull the trigger. No, first it starts with the tongue. And just like with all the other terrible gunas, start with the eyes. And then you get involved and you land in such a place where you can't take yourself out anymore. But it started with the eye. Allah in His great mercy and kindness just made, cut it off from the root. Let nothing, Islam's principle is that don't light the fire, then you don't have to look after it. The way of the animals of the West, the animal kingdom of the West, light the fire and then control the fire. No, we don't light the fire, so there is nothing. Boys and girls, let them play separately. Don't tell them now they are still small, let them play together. They start hugging one another, they start holding one another, and then things grow more and more. Then we put the laws that, that you must put butter on the fire, but don't let it melt. If it's butter, it has to melt. And Islam's law is, don't bring the butter even near the fire. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. From the very beginning, your eyes, how beautiful it is. So the same way with the tongue, or the anger that will come afterwards. One person told Shaitan that you are the cause of all this havoc in the world. Why do you cause all this trouble? Shaitan said, where have I got time for all the things which are happening? I haven't got time. Then he said, but you are the one. He said, all I do, for example, is put a drop of syrup on the wall. And I carry on. Seeing the syrup, the fly comes for the syrup. Seeing the fly, the lizard comes for the fly. Seeing the lizard, the cat comes for the lizard. Seeing the cat, the dog comes for the cat. And then the neighbor's dog starts fighting with this dog. Dogs are fighting. Then Ashraful Makhlukat, insan, the two bosses of the two houses, master, they start fighting. In that, a firearm comes out. The trigger is pulled, one person is lying dead. His family now deprived of their breadwinner. This person is arrested and put in jail, a court case, and he's found guilty and is given 20 years, 30 years in prison. This family is without their breadwinner. Where it all started? With the one drop of syrup. So we must be very, very careful. This one word that we speak and this anger that we have, this completely destroys a person. And if we learn to control it and we make effort in that direction, when we want to say something, قولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Allah will forgive all our gunas also. If we learn to control the tongue, all your other sins will also. You won't commit sins. Perchance you are human. You do, Allah will forgive that and cover up for you stuff. Even when your object of life is, I must control my tongue. I must not do anything wrong. And you are human. You might slip. Allah will cover up for you. Allah will protect you at that time. So this is also one great roza that we have to keep of the tongue. In the ummah of before, there was a roza of not speaking also. Inni nazartu li rahmani sawman, falan ukallim al-yawma insiya. I've made niyat that I'm going to keep roza. So my roza is, I won't speak to anyone. And everything was done by sign language after that. And in our this ummah also, there are those khankas where a person had the sickness of talking too much. So what did the sheikh prescribe for him? You put a board hanging from your neck. And on there is written, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. And so nobody, everyone sees him, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. Do it for your reasonable period. MashaAllah, there are brothers 40 days, others 30 days, whether we have come for 10 days. But let us now have that attitude. In the Khanqah of Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, people should spend 4 months together in one room. And at the end of the 4 months, they did not know one another's name also. They did not know from where he comes and what. We, in the first meeting, we know the whole history of the person. And his whole profile, we have got it, everything. One person traveling by train, a youngster asked him for time. So he said 10 past, quarter past. So every time, so the people around said, give him the proper time. Why are you only studying half the time, quarter past, 10 past, 20 past? So he says, if I give him the proper time, next he's going to ask me another question. And very soon he's going to come close to me. And then when he comes close, he'll know I've got a daughter. And he'll want to propose for my daughter also. And a person who hasn't got a watch also. And I must give my daughter to him. So I just cut it out from the start. That I just don't talk anything. So we also, that keep our distance. And we are taught, when we go in Jamaat also, we meet lot of people. And many people come with various objects. And they want to befriend you. And they got some other intention in mind. That this Jamaat is from this country, and I want to go there, and at least I'll have a contact. And now he's going to contact you, and now you're a Jamaat brother. And you said you spoke a lot about Ikram a Muslim. Now you must make his Ikram. You host him at your house also. And he'll take all advantage of you. So in the same way, yeah, in the Khanqah, yeah, also we have. That people, they say, oh, this is a rich man. And they make some contact. Some make contact that I would like to come to your country, to your place. And we take our contact numbers. And the people complained, so-and-so came, and he's taking my contact numbers, and he wants to make contact, etc. So we should have independence, trust only on Allah. So the tongue is a very, very important thing. It's like insignificant. The Sahaba asked, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained about the fire of Jahannam and the tongue. So they said the tongue, that will take a person to the fire of Jahannam. So small compared to the whole body. What is the volume of the tongue? What is the weight of the tongue? Insignificant compared to the... And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the tongue will take you to Jahannam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, may your mother... Rue the day she gave birth to you. In other words, that can't you think for yourself how important, what you think, the tongue is a small thing. The tongue is a very big thing and it can cause so much of havoc in the world. So this is what great favor of Allah that He gave us this month of Ramadan, that we learn to control the tongue, that we use it correctly. And when you say the right words and you say it kindly and properly, where this tongue takes you? It to the right person on the right occasion. That to the tongue, you can't say few words of love to your wife. But for another woman, or anything, she asks you for anything, or anytime, whatever you want. We have been taught that we must be servants of mankind. And when your wife asks you for potatoes and stuff, you're a nag. Every time, I must go buy potatoes for you. I'm a big boss running a big company, and you are nagging me for all the small things. Now the tap is leaking. Now this latch is not. You all the time a nag for me. But for another woman, whatever you say, whatever you want, I'm ready. I'm at your service. So this tongue here, it can take to a person where and where. And with that, the anger that comes also. And the anger also needs to be treated. And it's very, very, from anger, the illegitimate child of pride brings anger into a person. And the anger, the illegitimate children of anger, what and what happens after that? When a person hasn't got control of his anger. And for us, Allah made it, He gave us this month of Ramadan. Just learn to control the tongue. Learn to control our anger, and you will be an angel. When you go back home, and if we did this, your wife will say, you went, you spend your 30 days, you spend your 40 days, 10 days, but now you're an angel. One person, whenever he used to come home, fight, arguments in the family all the time. So the wife went to my Mauli Sahab for some treatment, Taweez. So the Mauli Sahab understood what their problem is. The husband comes and he shouts that this is not done, that is not done. She shouts back, argument, fights all the time. So he gave her a taweez that she must keep in her. When the husband is now going to come home, put it in your mouth and make sure it doesn't come out. So now you can't talk. So she doesn't talk, the husband doesn't get angry. So there is peace in the house. Her wife got so impressed, she baked a big cake and she took it for Mauli Sahab. I don't know what taweez you gave me, and it has such an effect, no more problems in the house. She said, bring that taweez, empty paper, nothing in that paper. That all that you just don't talk, and no problems also. So the same thing with us also. One husband, wife told her husband, you know, you, now, whatever I tell you, it goes in this ear, it comes out from this ear. I tell you to buy bread in the morning, milk, you don't do anything for me. So he told, you know, you, now, whatever I tell you, it goes in this ear, it comes out from here, from your mouth. Everything just comes out from here. So we just control ourselves, and the tongue, there is much more detail, but make dua, and not only for now in here. Now we are mostly strangers to one another. We are all keeping our distance, we are all keeping to ourselves, but forever at home also, and mix with family people, treat family people as family people. And there also all monetary affairs and all that, keep it like with strangers. And with strangers also, how we treat them, let us also keep a proper relation with everyone. And the tongue is the person, amlik alayka nafsak, the first solution to all our problems, control your tongue. If we learn to control our tongue, 99% of our problems don't even come about. But if our tongue is not under control, we face endless problems. And also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained that when a person swears somebody, he humiliates, disgraces somebody, it's with the tongue. When that person comes, he won't catch his tongue and say, with this tongue. He'll give you one shot. He'll kick you. Now your other body parts, they also suffer. So every morning when a person wakes up, all the parts of the body tell the tongue, you stay straight, we will stay safe. And if you don't stay straight, we have got problems. Then somebody kicks us, somebody uses his fist on us, somebody takes out a knife for us, because you'd cause the problem and we have to suffer the consequence. So the tongue is very, very important. Allah give us tawfiq. And a person who has learned to control his tongue, he has got goodness of deen, dunya and akhirat. Allah give us tawfiq. This is a few days that we have. Learn to use it and make your niyat permanently. And then see the great goodness that will come. May Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.